And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Wade Gerstner with you. And we are still trying to get over the fact that Dusty, a K-State guy, has KU as his favorite to win the national championship. I'm flabbergasted still by that and shaking from all the excitement here in studio. I never thought I'd hear that. Tim Fitzgerald of Go PowerCat. GoPowerCat.com is with us. Fitz is here to tell us all about the product called Tang, whether he likes it or not. Hey, man, it is good to have you on the show. There's a lot been going on. I guess the first question for you, how excited are you personally about the hiring of Jerome Tang as the next head coach of K-State men's basketball?
Well, it's really good to see the fans excited as a group. I mean, for the most part, everyone is really fired up, and it seems like everything people learn more about Jerome Tang is more endearing and makes them feel better about this hire. And, of course, he'll be formally introduced tomorrow at noon in the Shamrock Zone, the new South End Zone facility that attaches to Bramlage Coliseum, and the public is invited.
Did Tang, from what I've read and heard, he had some offers or had some other places to consider over the last few years, and maybe even so this year. Why do you think K-State was on his radar and why he ultimately chose K-State?
Well, I think that a couple things are in play here. First of all, he's a Houston guy. All of his basketball roots lead back to Texas. So remaining in a conference at a high level with the ability to recruit Texas pretty easily, I think, was important. But, you know, early on, we had people tell us that Jerome Tang also understands the history of Kansas State basketball, or what it was, the coaches that have come through Manhattan, and also that he sees the potential of a return to K-State basketball that hasn't been fully realized. So I think it just all added up, and he really locked in on K-State. And once they moved past Brad Underwood, they were kind of running a two-pronged attack on hiring a coach. They were talking to Underwood while Tang emerged as the obvious other choice. And, of course, that's the route they ended up going.
Tim Fitzgerald, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, talking about the hiring of Jerome Tang as the next head coach at K-State men's basketball following Bruce Weber. He's never been a head coach. I've heard some people maybe concerned about that. I'm not concerned about it at all. I mean, Frank Martin wasn't. Roy Williams wasn't. Steve Kerr in the NBA hasn't been. Greg Popovich wasn't. Any concerns at all for you that he hasn't been a head coach?
No, Bill Snyder wasn't.
That's right.
you know, it's kind of funny that that's the concern of some K-Staters, that they see that as a weakness, when in reality, it's a guy that has been waiting for the right opportunity. And, you know, like Bill Snyder, that stayed at Hayden Frieside for so long and was perfectly content staying there, something about K-State clicked with Jerome Tang, and after 19 years, he's leaving Scott Drew's side, where they really kind of performed a miracle in Waco. I mean, a program that was almost dead from NCAA problems and also, sadly, a murder within the program back in the early 2000s, and led it to a national championship last year. And I think that's really what changed everything for Jerome Tang, was being part of a national title and having such a role in it. I think changed everyone's perception of what was going on in Waco.
Tang is 55 years of age, and I know this is a tough question to answer. It is a hypothetical, and we'll probably learn more, obviously, in the near future. But what do you believe here? Do you believe this is a stepping stone job for Coach Tang, or do you believe this is a guy that's going to build something special and this is going to be his job for maybe until he wants to quit?
First, you just never know. You know. Second of all, you do have to realize something. As K-State currently sits in the world of college athletics, it can be outbid, or in this case, it can't outbid in Illinois for Brad Underwood, simply because it doesn't have its resources. So, you know, you never know after 3-4 years if someone comes calling with an enormous offer, I'd probably go. but, you know, there's two ways to look at the age factor. One being, maybe this is his final stop. I mean, at 55, maybe you're looking at 10 years of coaching and call it good, or even 15 years of coaching and call it good. Or if that big offer comes along at age 58, he doesn't have much earning time left on his clock. Maybe he's more inclined to jump at it. I get the feeling after 19 years in Waco, he's not someone that you could describe as a job hopper.
I would agree with you, and I think that's why this is a terrific hire, part of the reason it's a terrific hire for K-State. K-State in Focus Athletics today, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit as well. What about the recruiting front? He's known as a guy that can really get out there and recruit. I would think that's something that should have the K-State fan base excited.
Well, and I think that's, you know, no matter who was coming in as coach, I think that was what was really important here, is that someone bring in better players. They just need more good players. It's not like the roster is completely empty. Naturally, Nigel Pack is someone everyone's focused on. But even he's an undersized guard along with Marquise Noel. I mean, just two guys that you probably wouldn't see on Baylor, but Coach Tang would gladly have in his first year as head coach as he tries to upgrade the roster to bigger, more athletic basketball players. And he's got a history of being able to do that and do that from a variety of angles. I mean, right out of high school, but now he's had a lot of success at Baylor with helping bring in transfer portal guys, which is such a big part of the game.
And of course, part of the game too is the staff that you surround yourself with. And obviously, Scott Drew had a tremendous assistant coach in Jerome Tang. What are you hearing in regards to potentials on his staff? And would any of the assistants under Coach Weber have a chance to be retained and be on Coach Tang's staff?
Well, I think Shane Southwell is the only one really in play for that, for retention. And we've heard mixed messages on it. I'm kind of a firm believer in whatever Coach Tang thinks is best for his program is the course to take. It's his, you know, it's his name attached. I would never tell him as a boss that you have to keep someone. We'd work that out somehow. But we've run a hot board of possible assistant coaches for our subscribers at Go PowerCat. I think there'll be. It's interesting when you've been at one school for 19 years. It's not like you bounced all over college basketball and have connections all over the country. So what we're going to see is probably guys with a lot of Baylor connections or a lot of connections to Texas basketball, as in the state. And I think that's probably the direction he will go. And then Shane Southwell kind of mixed in there. We'll see what happens. He also expressed an interest in trying to find a former head coach to be on his staff, maybe not necessarily as associate head coach or even one of the three assistants. But, you know, a lot of coaches now have a special assistant to the head coach, someone that can really be a sounding board maybe in their, you know, later years of the coaching profession where they don't want to grind quite as hard.
Tim Fitzgerald, publisher of Go PowerCat, GoPowerCat.com, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Let's shift to the guy that many, many K-State fans wanted, and that was Brad Underwood. I know you've known the Underwoods for quite some time. How close was K-State to convincing Brad Underwood to be the next head coach at Kansas State University? And did K-State focus in on Underwood first and then go towards Tang when they thought maybe they wouldn't get him? Or was it kind of going back and forth that they had option A and option 1AB?
Yeah, you know, that's exactly it. They really did run a two-pronged search. They spoke with Underwood's people, friends, and directly with Brad whenever possible. And it got close, but at the end of the day, if you look at the basketball budget of Illinois, that's not something K-State can sustain. And there's so much more that goes into hiring a head coach, not just the buyout of his contract, which I'm told donors were more than ready to help with. You know, there's a lot more here than just his salary. The fact that he has a strength coach that's the highest paid in the Big Ten that he wants to bring. It's the fact that, you know, he's got a number of staff positions at Illinois that Kansas State doesn't currently have and would have to probably fund. So there was a lot working here. At the end of the day, I don't think K-State was comfortable with going any higher than they had. And, you know, probably Gene Taylor made the right decision fiscally for the university not to put so much into basketball, particularly heading into maybe further realignment and certainly a new negotiation of a Big 12 TV media rights contract that will be based mostly in football. So you better stay good and fully funded in football.
What was the buyout for Brad Underwood?
Just $8 million. It's similar to mine.
So, chump change.
Yeah, but, you know, he doesn't get that. That goes to Illinois. My buyout is you'd have to pay me to cover another school. So I'm open, $8 million.
Yeah.
And I, too, will pick Kansas on my bracket.
Well, I like that. We just hired a new person here at the radio station, and he just told me that he wanted a bowl of green M&Ms. I'm like, if that's all you needed from the very beginning, we can pay you in M&Ms. I didn't know it was going to be that easy.
I appreciate that Van Halen reference.
Do you think, and once again, this is tough. I know it's a tough question here, but that's why we have you on for opinion. Do you think Brad Underwood's what, 58?
Yeah, he graduated from McPherson High School in 82, and I was at Salina Central in 82. But he is slightly older than me. Yeah.
Okay, so do you think there will be a day where Brad Underwood will be the coach at K-State, considering his age? And obviously, if Jerome Tang does a great job, and as you mentioned, somebody throws a whole bunch of money at him, maybe that'll be the time Brad Underwood would be the head coach at K-State. But as you get older, obviously, the amount of time you have on the sidelines is going to dwindle. Do you think this was perhaps the last chance for K-State to bring Brad Underwood home and be the coach, or do you think there may be another opportunity down the road?
I never like to say never again, but I also know how much more conservative in decision-making I get as I get older, and I make less than Brad does, I think, in a week for the year. Oh, my gosh, that's horrible. I think that might be true. I'm not going to say no, but it does certainly close the window quite a bit.
It certainly does. What about K-State fans? We saw this happen when Bruce Weber took over. Everybody, it seemed like everybody, loved Frank. Frank Martin leaves, and there were fans that never, honestly, ever were ever going to give Bruce Weber any credit for anything. There were just fans that were set that way from the very beginning. I think it's different with Jerome Tang, obviously. But do you think there's a faction of fans that love Brad Underwood so much and want him to come back so badly that they would maybe not be in full support of Jerome Tang, hoping that Underwood would come back?
There might be a few people out there, but I think the reality of the situation, people fully understand that. Right. Gene Taylor did everything within his power. There was nothing more he could have done to get the Underwood thing complete. And I think people appreciate that. If Gene had not really pursued that wholeheartedly, if he hadn't really gone all in on that, I think you would see people maybe feeling that way. And what's interesting about the people that push back on Weber is after 2018 in the Elite Eight and 2019 in the Big 12 title, my sense was Bruce Weber had most of the fan base behind him. And I really do kind of push back on the theory that there's been certain K-Staters that were never supportive or that the whole fan base was against him from the start. I think that was pretty disingenuous when that was expressed, and that somehow K-State has the only bad fans in the country, which was absurd. I think the last 3 years of the Weber era was, you know, pretty definitive and what direction things were going, and that's when he really lost all of his support.
Jerome Tang was available the last few years. He has been a name that's been mentioned the last few years when it comes to coaching vacancies. Bruce Weber, as you mentioned, it's not like he suddenly had a horrific year. The last 3 years have not been good. I guess I had somebody ask me this, I think, yesterday. They said, why now, when you could have had him a year or two sooner, possibly?
Well, they gave Bruce Weber a lot of rope, you know, after winning two shared Big 12 titles, having an Elite Eight, having some really nice success that hadn't been seen at K-State consistently. And the last three, I think without COVID, it would only lasted 2 years. I'm astonished to look around at some of the coaches in college basketball that were let go. You know, for example, Frank Martin. Let's just take that to a very comparable feel from a school in South Carolina that's never really valued basketball. He did take him to a Final Four, but that was his only tournament. However, over the last 3 years, he won 23 conference games compared to Bruce's 13, and he went 9-9 this year in a pretty good SEC conference. And and that got him out. So I think Bruce Weber was given plenty of time, maybe too much by some people's thoughts, but, you know, COVID kind of bailed him out. John Curry leaving at the exact right time helped him out about 5 years ago. So it's been an interesting, course of events here that has kept him in Manhattan for so long and kind of set this moment up when K-State was able to get a guy that they really like and always fired up the fan base.
Our focus on K-State Athletics today brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Tim Fitzgerald, our guest today on Sports Ticket. A couple more before they're off the wall, and we'll let you go, Tim. What should the expectations be, in your estimation, for K-State men's basketball under head coach Jerome Tang? What are the realistic expectations? I don't think, obviously, go to four straight Final Fours. But I think the younger generation forgets how good K-State was in men's basketball. Up to 88, KU and K-State were neck and neck in regards to the programs. And then, of course, it's been pretty one-sided ever since. Yeah. What should fans expect? What are realistic expectations for the Tang era, let's say the next 3 or 4 years?
Well, Iowa State has changed that bar quite a bit.
Wow.
They ratcheted up from being dead last in the Big 12 last year to a Sweet 16 this year, mostly built through the transfer portal. And that's really the key here. The transfer portal changes so much, so I'll be really eager to see how this roster sorts out. But realistically, I think just getting back to, packing the arena, playing really competitive, entertaining basketball, and have a little bit more sense of consistency about the program. But I certainly think getting into that upper half of the Big 12 is very attainable for a K-State basketball program, and getting into the NCAA tournament within the first 2 years isn't that much to ask.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday. K-State men's basketball has been the Elite Eight twice in the last 12 seasons. And there's a ton of programs that can't say that. And I think we lose track of that a little bit. And granted, you catch a break, obviously, when a 1 loses a 16. But you only control who you play. And the fact that K-State, even when they've kind of been up and down over this period of time, they've won a couple of conference titles. They've been able to make it Elite Eight a couple of times. To me, imagine if you get somebody in there that can be a consistent winner, that can challenge each year for the Big 12 title, what this program can be. And I fully believe Jerome Tang is a guy that can do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some questions about any guy that hasn't been the head coach at this level, and particularly in basketball, where I feel like more falls on the head coach than, say, football, where you're a little bit more of a CEO role. You've got other coaches calling plays offensively and defensively, typically. You know, a lot more falls on your shoulders. But he's expressed, and I mentioned the experienced head coach somewhere in his inner circle, but he also knows they need to go find an offensively-minded coach to help supplement his prowess on the defensive end of the court. But I'm fired up. I think this guy understands what he's getting into, understands his strengths or weaknesses. There's a lot of self-awareness here. A guy that's just really comfortable in his skin and knows that he paid his dues, and it's time to take charge and be his own man. And I think that's why he resonates so well with K-Staters, who, have fought for everything they can. And, it's kind of the ag DNA of anyone in Kansas, but particularly K-State fans, that you can't control the rain, you can't control the weather, so go control the things you can do with hard work and discipline and faith and belief. And that's why Jerome Tang, I think, at the very core, is registering so strongly with K-Staters.
Fitz, you mentioned a transfer portal, and there's also name, image, and likeness. Do you think athletic directors, and maybe not in this case, maybe it was with Gene Taylor, do you think athletic directors are having to think a little bit differently in regards to who they go get to hire because of those new nuances where the transfer portal is so prevalent, where you have to re-recruit your own guys to keep them there, plus recruit guys to come in, and then name, image, and likeness to make it even more complicated?
You know, those are two conversations that 3 years ago you would have never imagined having.
Yes.
That's how far college athletics has evolved, and so suddenly. I think the bigger thing here is name, image, and likeness. And the fact that athletic departments can't really be involved with that other than trying to keep student-athletes out of trouble with, signing deals that just won't be good for them. But I know that K-State has an alumni group that is working on what's called a collective, which is a name, image, and likeness fundraising branch outside of the realm of athletics, but also because it impacts possible giving to athletics, athletics is very aware of it. And I found it notable that Josh McCown, who's the head of the Ahern Fund and head of the athletic fundraising efforts, was involved in every step of this hire. I mean, when I saw K-State officials get off a plane on Sunday coming back from Waco, he was one of the four involved. And that shows you really right now where the NIL is impacting even the hiring of coaches when it is outside, you know, the actual reach of athletics, technically by the law, if there is any NCAA rules left in the world.
All right, Tim, time for the off-the-wall question. Along those lines, if Tim Fitzgerald was a prominent athlete, don't you have to be a prominent athlete? You could just be a college athlete. We saw Jared Casey, of course, for KU, hit it big with Applebee's and all kinds of stuff for making one catch in a game against Texas on TV, national TV. If you were a prominent or just simply a college athlete, what product would be the perfect fit for you to promote and wear T-shirts of, name, image, and likeness for Tim Fitzgerald?
I don't think I'd be allowed to do Absolute Vodka, but, you know, hey, it's my dream world.
That's right.
I can have an NIL deal with a vodka company out of Sweden. Sure.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I just saw that that awesome guard from St. Peter's, his name totally escaped me, the most Jersey-looking player I've ever seen in college basketball, just signed with Buffalo Wild Wings. God love the NIL.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I mean, we all thought it just would be the rich getting richer, and you see this kid from, you know, Jersey, a lifelong Jersey resident playing at St. Peter's, not a basketball power, getting an NIL deal because they're in the Sweet 16.
That's awesome. I love it. All right, man, how can people catch your work? You do an excellent job keeping people updated, a wonderful job with the whole hiring process for K-State men's basketball. Tell us how people can find your work and subscribe and everything.
Head on over to GoPowerCat.com. It sounds like it sounds, and we've always got a deal going of some sort. Right now it's $1 for your first month, so you get a 30-day test drive for $1, and see what we do is, you know, matched up with what you want. And we do things a little bit differently than we ever have before. We're doing a lot of podcasts, a lot of video, along with our writing. And, in fact, I had a podcast that went live at midnight with King McClure, former Baylor player. Great stories on Jerome Tang. And I was an ESPN analyst, so you can head over to Go PowerCat and check that out.
As always, a pleasure. Thanks for the time, Fitz. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for having me.
Tim Fitzgerald, best in the business. Our focus on K-State athletics today brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit.